Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
All my bets were safe. There just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets, the college years.
Gotta love an underdog when he howls.
Now alongside Chris the Bear Felica.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Here's Stanford Steve.
Welcome in. First edition of the Bowl Game Behind the Best podcast. Stanford Steve here along with the Bear. Sir, how we doing?
Doing pretty well. Just enjoying a little bit of downtime. Not too much, though, as we're getting set to go to one of the first bowl games of the year out in Las Vegas on Saturday.
So, oh, really?
You know, you obviously didn't see game day on Saturday. It just happened coincidentally. Reese and Kirk are calling the game, and Kirk and Reese need me in their ears to give them stats and nuggets and little thoughts to interject throughout that Oregon-Boise game on Saturday. And coincidentally, that game just happens to be played in Las Vegas.
It's pretty funny because Mr. Davis came in to appear on SportsCenter a couple weeks ago and really had a lot of questions about that Vegas Bowl, who I thought might be in it, and you know, I just couldn't put two and two together, but now I know, and that's a good thing to know that you guys will be out in the desert for that one. I wanted to lay it out for the people. We're going to take today's podcast is going to take you through games, let's say up to December 26th, so after the day after Christmas. Next week we will reconvene, get you settled up to, say, let's say New Year's Eve, and then we'll find that time to do New Year's Day. Bear, you mentioned Vegas. Can you let the people in on the travel schedule? Where can we find you if we're on the road and want to see you? Get a picture for the gram.
Vegas Friday, Saturday. Quick in and out.
Wow.
Then head to the
public
road.
Or private jet?
Oh, commercial, please.
All right.
Nothing.
Just checking. It's holiday season. I didn't know if anybody was giving out there.
No, we've already gotten the medallion upgrade all the way through, though, so that's a good thing.
All
travel
right.
And comfort for that red eye back.
Nice.
Rose Bowl on the 27th, so we'll be out there through the 1st, then home for a day, and then head down to Atlanta. So three games this year.
Okay.
Rose title Vegas.
All right. I am actually headed to the Cotton Bowl. And coming home for, I think, less than 24 hours, and then headed to the Sugar Bowl for New Year's Day, where I will be for my 41st birthday on New Year's Day. Quick question.
I did not know you're a New Year's baby. How didn't I know that?
Well, I don't know. I guess it never came up in our
conversations. I was
going to
say, why would we ever?
My lifelong dream when I was a youngster was to play a game on my birthday, which ended up being my last football game on Y2K. And, of course, it was a loss. So just the way I drew it up as a kid, you know, dreams do come true. And
you don't
get to write the ending a lot.
Exactly. Rose Bowl, why not? New Year's Day, and let's lose it.
All right, so you're going to be at three bowl games.
Yep.
All right. And I was thinking to myself yesterday driving into work, beside play-by-play or, say, game producers, would you put yourself up to as many against anybody in the country as, you know, if there was a contest of who's attended the most bowl games in their career?
I don't know.
You've got to be averaging at least three a year,
I was
right?
going to say it's probably three a year for the last 12 years or so. That's 36. And then 96 to 2005 were probably two a year. So that's another 10. So that's 20. So now we're up, 56? Four at Miami. So that's six. So I 60 ball games is probably a conservative or a pretty, actually, let's say pretty accurate guesstimate. Let's say 60.
60 bowl games you've been to. I'll take that number against anyone.
Really, I have no idea what to expect. I mean, there are a lot of these writers that and people who have been covering the game for a long time that they'll go to multiple. They'll go to three a year, but I don't know, 660, I think, would definitely get me on the full screen. That's for sure.
Yes, for sure. The leaderboard. You'd be up there. All right. So that's the schedule we have planned for the holiday season. We'll be out and about everywhere. Any questions, you can hit us up on Twitter. So let's get into it. Saturday, full slate of games, including Division II and Division III championship games, I believe, are – or no, Division III is Friday night. Yep. Division II is Saturday.
I'm looking forward to watching that game Friday night in Vegas. That's going to be awesome.
Mary Hart and Baylor.
Yeah, that'll be really fun. That'll be a good game to watch.
Good to see Mount Union back. I mean, two great stories, obviously.
And then, the Bison plays that on Friday night, too, right?
Sam Houston State and the Bison? 21.5, I saw for a number in the Fargo Dome. Somebody tell me that, right?
That's a lot. That's a lot of points. With that. I'm looking at it right now, yeah. I see 21.5, and I see JMU, a field goal over the Jackrabbits.
Hmm.
21.
JMU owes me money after that effort last week.
What a comeback.
Woof. Let's just say they were – I think they were fortunate.
Yes.
I'll say fortunate. All right, so there are, I think, four or five bowl games here on Saturday. I'll start. I'm going to go to – let's see, where do I want to start? I'm going to go to the Camellia Bowl, Middle Tennessee +4 against Arkansas State. Good story around here. I had to laugh at Coach Stockstill's quote about being happy about playing in a bowl game in Montgomery, Alabama. He wasn't upset, but he just said, "There's no more excuses. It's been too hard for our fan base to get to bowl games the last 2 years because they played in the Hawaii Bowl last year and the Bahamas Bowl." The year prior.
Passport or long, expensive flight to Honolulu.
Wow. Yeah, no kidding. So I think it's about 300 miles, I read, from the Middle Tennessee campus. He chipped in with the athletic department, bought over $10,000 worth of tickets for students to drive. You know, I mentioned he said there's no more excuses. You could drive. It's a Saturday. Perfect setup. You'll be home for the holidays. What sticks out to me here with Middle Tennessee is they were the only Conference USA team to face three Power 5 opponents this year. And they actually won one beating Syracuse earlier in the year. They had to run the table. They had to go 3-1 to get into a bowl game in the last four. They got Coach's son back, Brett Stockstill, who's the quarterback, who's a phenomenal player. And I it's one of these teams where the I don't want to say the tradition's ingrained, but the program's going in the right direction. I love the coaching staff. Stockstill surrounded himself with former head coaches as coordinators, with Tony Franklin running the offense and Scott Schaefer doing the defense. I feel there's a little hunger here with this team. They're playing their best ball of the year coming into this game. It's not too much of a layoff. Stockstill's a phenomenal player in the upper echelon of players in that Conference USA. I will take Middle Tennessee to win the game on the field, so I will take the 4 points against Arkansas State. Give me the Blue Raiders.
Nine Conference USA teams in bowls, seven of them underdogs. FAU and Western Kentucky are the only two Houston teams who were favored in their bowl games. I can see that happening. I mean, Arkansas State, did you watch or look inside the numbers of their final game against Troy?
We had it on one of the TVs because we were on TV.
Unbelievable.
It was 600, the best game.
600 and something yards. Troy had under 300, but Hanson just continues to turn the ball over. And if they do that, I could certainly see you being on the right side in that game.
Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
I like two games on Saturday. The first game, I'm going to say the game that I'm at, Boise State and Oregon. I like the Ducks laying the 7.5, and we've talked about it at length about motivation in ball games is so key and crucial to success. And I think that's one of the reasons why we waited as long as we did to do this podcast, because we wanted to try and get who might be playing, coaching changes, suspension.
Yeah, who's coaching?
Exactly. But we now know Mario Cristobal will replace Willie Taggart at Oregon. The players, I think, will be very excited, very receptive to that. Jim Levitt's back calling the defense before he moves on to wherever it's going to be that he winds up going likely to Florida State. I believe. I think they're going to try and keep him. I don't think anything's been official yet, but I think there's a lot of motivation for Oregon here. With Justin Herbert back, they're averaging 50 points a game. They're 6-1. I think they're going to be very excited to play. Boise, their offense just this year has not been the same what we've been used to seeing from Boise since they became the gold standard of these group of five teams. Really struggling to run the ball. They finally settled back with ripping a quarterback, but I just don't like their potential chances to score with Oregon. We know Oregon's going to score. Oregon's going to put up 40 points or so. Can Boise put up 35-40 as well against the Ducks and Jimmy Leavitt and that defense? I don't know. I don't think so. I like the Ducks laying the 7.5 in the Vegas Bowl.
Okay. It's amazing. I was looking at that Oregon schedule and seeing, like, Herbert couldn't have gone out at a worse time this year when their schedule hit the teams.
Wazoo, Stanford, all their tough games. Yep.
So really interested to see that. I know Cristobal, he's one of your guys, right? He's a South Florida guy.
You know how every year we promote our 30 for 30s, the ESPN films? About 15, 20 years from now, even though no one will probably care 15 or 20 years from now, I want the Mario Cristobal fired from FIU. I want that story to finally come out, what happened there.
Okay.
I don't know it. I would just.
I thought you wanted to.
No. If I can get some information, I would. But
all right.
And that was just a bizarre way that all went down. And it's good to see Mario getting a.
Didn't he go right to coach with Saban?
He went to
Alabama. Immediately.
I think he did okay there too.
Yeah, exactly. Landed
on his feet.
very good. Next, let's see. I'm going to go to. Following Saturday, I'm going to go to the Birmingham Bowl, Texas Tech plus 2.5 against South Florida. This game just stuck out to me because it's an American team, American Athletic Conference team in South Florida, giving points to a Big 12 team in Texas Tech. South Florida, their season, just looking at it, and I don't know if this makes sense. It feels like it was the most unmotivated season or resume or whatever, track record, whatever you want to call it. They knew what they had to do, and they didn't do it to have their season, in my eyes, be a success. And that was run the table and get into that Power 5, New Year's 6 bowl game conversation. They lost to Houston at home. And then they lost one of the best games of the season, if not the best.
The Herbie for the 2017 Herbie for best game of the year goes to South Florida, Central Florida.
Good man, Herbie. He did listen to me. He got my text message. Good to see. Did he call yet today? He's usually
No, he called. No. He called last night and texted this morning.
Okay.
So I did reply to the text. You know, that's why I think we've really struggled the last few weeks. We have broken. He has not called the last 3 weeks. And what has happened the last 3 weeks, it hasn't been pretty
good.
Hopefully, over the next couple of minutes, he'll call.
All right. Keep me posted. South Florida played in this bowl game last year. Like, how motivated are they to go back to Birmingham? And when you look on the other side of things, Cliff Kingsbury had some success against Charlie Strong when Strong was at Texas. We know how much Texas Tech likes to throw the ball. And USF, I believe, comes in 58th in the country in passing yards. So I think Texas Tech is going to have a little motivation. I saw a report from Bruce Feldman yesterday. This could Gibbs is on Herm Edwards' radar to be this new defense coordinator at Arizona State. Could they rally the troops around him for this game against South Florida, who has one of my favorite quarterbacks in Flowers in the country? But I just look at this as a chance to pounce. Like, everybody wondered about Kingsbury's future in Lubbock. He got the win against Texas in the last game of the season. And it just feels like he can ride this momentum into a bowl game win, you know, help out with recruiting and get a little extra juice going into next year for things in Lubbock. So I'm going to take Texas Tech to cover. I'll say USF wins 41-40 in it.
I'm a yellow card on that. Absolute
what?
Yellow card on that. The 2.5-point underdog is going to lose by a point. Come on.
It's a holiday season, Bear. I can't pick all my underdogs to win on the field.
Oh, that's terrible.
Now, USF 41-40. Take the point.
I was going to say, now watch it wind up 41-40, and you'll be. So Texas Tech beats Charlie Strong's old team in the regular season finale to get bowl eligible, and then they beat Charlie Strong's new team in the bowl game. I like you.
No, they're going to cover. They're not going to win.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'll say they win. In my mind, they'll win.
All right.
Getting back to Bruce's deal, he say in that report, is Phil Bennett staying at Arizona State through the bowl game?
Gone.
Okay.
Gone. Oh, through the bowl game.
Yeah. I knew he was leaving, but I wasn't sure if it was going to be through the bowl game against NC State or not. That's a big deal.
Yes, it is. Why don't you get to your game? I'll try and check that out real quick.
Yeah, I like North Texas getting the 6.5 against Troy on Saturday as well.
That's our first game.
It is
Saturday,
the first
correct?
Game of the year. It is the first game in the Arnold Carriers New Orleans Bowl, and I like the Mean Green. I was beaten by them a couple weeks back when they went to Rice in a game that I thought that they had no business really even being motivated to play. They played well, and their offense continued to play well. Defensively, they've been beaten up by FAU this year, but the Troy offense is nowhere near what FAU's offense is. This is not a prolific type offense. Under 300 yards at Arkansas State. I know Jeffrey Wilson is out again, but Nick Smith has played well. The quarterback, Mason Fine, if he doesn't turn the ball over and give Troy a short field and easy points, I think the Mean Green can pull this upset, and I will certainly take them plus the 6.5 here.
I like that pick. They almost made the sheet. Wow. I'm just looking at, just to give a little perspective, I check out those, I don't know, what is it, the bowl probability, the win probability, or the percentage of people picking on
.com? The money, like the, the public money.
Yeah. Did you see what this game is at now?
I did not. Well, I would assume that Troy is going to be a very public side in this game because I think Joe Common Fan is familiar with Troy.
They
went
to
LSU. They won, exactly. And they really didn't pay much attention to some of the other games and what North Texas has done as well this year. So is Troy
91% on Troy.
I like being me you, in the 9%.
You don't like being in that. You love being in the 9% on that one. Phil Bennett will stay through the bowl game.
That's good.
At Arizona State.
That's good. They'll need that.
Yes. That will help a whole lot more than that also in the Sun Bowl. I'm feeling, speaking of bowl mania, I can see a lot of people saying NC State might be their number one pick.
Really?
You don't think so?
No.
Wow.
It's obvious. You're talking about bowl mania.
Public.
Oh.
I think that's a huge – that's going to be – everyone's going to have that over 35, I think, in the conference pool.
Oh, good. I'm in the minority there. I will say this. I need to find out one thing prior to that game. Herm giving the pregame speech in the locker room? If he is, I'm going to the window with 2/5 on all Sparky.
All right. Okay.
We're going to find that out.
I you know what? I could get information, and I'm going to try. I will have that on the next podcast.
Beautiful.
I will have that information for you from my sources. All right. I am going to – so that's two each here. Let's see. Where am I going next? I am going to, same day, the Armed Forces Bowl in Fort Worth, Texas. San Diego State -7 against Army. You were there last week. One of the all-timers for an Army-Navy game. The snow, the uniforms, the crowd, game day there.
Army uniforms, those whites.
Unbelievable.
And the Navy hand-painted helmets.
Yeah. Did you get one of those? Were you able to take that one off the set?
I was unable to pilfer that one off the set, unfortunately. It would look nice.
How was the snowfall during the show?
It wasn't bad. And actually, the drive home wasn't bad either until I got
GW?
No. GW was fine. Jersey Turnpike was fine. 95 was fine. Even 8th roll, the old Dirty Valley there, all through old Naugatuck was fine. And then just when we got south of Waterbury, that's when it started to get a little slick.
Okay.
So just in time to get on that big right-hand merge from 8th
to
84.
Oh, yeah.
Going about 8 miles an hour up the incline, worried about sliding. And then, of course, somehow, like, the Connecticut State Department of Transportation, like, doesn't know, like, snow is coming and didn't salt 84 at all. So that's the only time we got a little bit of accumulation and slush on the ride home. But we made it home and safe and sound, no accidents, no near accidents. It was okay. I'll take it. If I could have asked for a ride home to go the way it did in a best-case scenario, that was as best of a case scenario as I could have had.
Good to hear. But the game was absolutely sensational, and I know I feel like the absolute devil saying this, but Army just feels like everyone's darling now, and everyone's going to have them on their mind because that's the last game they saw, and you mentioned the uniforms and how awesome it is. Now they won 2 in a row against Navy, and that story, you know, with the help of you guys on game day, has just become a national story, and it should be. It's the best rivalry in college sports. It really is. But San Diego State is a really, really good football team. And they, you know, lost 2 games at home this year to, I believe, Boise and Fresno. And that knocked them out of, the non-Power 5 conversation for that New Year's 6 game. But here's why I like San Diego State. They've played a variety of teams that love to run the football. They beat Stanford early in the year. They've beaten Air Force. They've played New Mexico. You know, you talk about option. You have Air Force and New Mexico who run the same, I should say, same option. They run the option offense, but they're way different in the way they go about things. And Coach Long is as good as there is with defensive discipline, I think, for the talent that he has. And I think San Diego State is a much better football team. I trust Coach Long in this spot, and I think they're that much better than this Army team. I think that's the case here. So I'm gonna delay the 7. I don't like giving a touchdown. I don't like giving points in bowl games, but I'm gonna take, if there's a favorite here, or a favorite, you know, in these early bowl games, I'm gonna take a shot with San Diego State, seeing how they've proven they can run the ball with Rashad Penny, and I mentioned the defense, so I'll take this matchup.
And the one thing you didn't mention, I think, could be the biggest advantage the Aztecs might have in this game, and that's on the perimeter.
Yeah.
I think if there's too much focus on Penny, I think the wide receiver defensive back matchup could be a big advantage for San Diego State. I don't know. Army's got a lot of motivation, though, to win 10 games for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting. I have no true opinion in this game. I'd probably take the points just for the sake of taking the points, but you're right. San Diego State has been very, very good in bowl games the last couple of years.
Yeah.
That is definitely a thing, I think, to consider here. Programs and coaches that take these bowl games seriously and are out to put a winning note to cap their season.
Got it.
My third game, I will go to the old Gasparilla Bowl.
Nice.
And I will take Temple minus the 7.5 against FIU, and it pains me to do that because Butch Davis is my guy. And
what's going on here?
And he's done a great job this year getting them to pull some upsets. They've been hurt shorthanded a lot of the year, but they're bowl eligible, and I think they're really happy about being in this bowl game. But I think Temple is a team that has improved as the year has gone on. Their defense is good enough, and I think you have to remember as well, in Collins' first year, they still have a bunch of juniors and seniors who have been to bowl games the last couple of years as big favorites, or favorites rather, and they've lost the game outright. So they've gotten to this game before the last couple of years, and then it hasn't gone their way. I think those experiences the last couple of years, I think that will serve as a little bit of motivation for Temple. We've gotten to a bowl game a couple of times. We need to win one now. And I think they will. So I think as a total football team, offense, defense, I think Temple is better than FIU, and I like the Owls here.
That's up to 7.5.
Yeah,
yeah, Yeah, I'm totally with you. And Temple's one of those teams where, just as you mentioned, enough's enough. And I put Middle Tennessee in that category of, we've been to two bowl games in a row now. We lost them. Let's go. Let's focus on winning a bowl game. You know, and it helps that offseason. I do believe in that momentum stuff for your program, not necessarily the national perception of going into the next year, but just the mood and everything around your program, the offseason workouts. There's just a way better vibe about things when you can win that last game of the season. For me, next, I'm going to go to Tuesday, the 26th, the Heart of Dallas Bowl. It's the Cotton Bowl in Dallas where the game will be played. It's Utah -6.5 against West Virginia. We know my affinity for West Virginia, but that has really fallen off with my man Will Greer not being able to play.
Is he definitely out? Do we definitely know he's not playing?
Highly, highly doubtful.
I would agree with you on that.
I wonder if he's going to enter the draft. That's the one. Yep. And I know I sound crazy because I'm his number one fan. I do think he's an NFL talent. I think he'll get a shot. I don't know if this is the time. If he comes back, man, look out.
That'll be an interesting decision to see if he does come back, because what has he played? 13, 14 games?
He played no,
well, more than five, that. Yeah, he played 5 and 11.
11, 16 maybe? 16 that's, games, yeah, that's...
Yeah, there have been a lot of quarterbacks who have gone pretty high playing less than that. So
Walsh's? You got to have two seasons?
Walsh and Parcells, right?
Right, two seasons to get a full go.
20 starts or something?
Yeah, 20. Yeah, I think that is 20 starts. But, yeah, just really unfortunate. I thought they could end it on a lot more positive note if they had Greer. Kyle Whittingham, like, looking at these numbers with bowl games, it's unbelievable. Yep. I didn't realize it. Fourth consecutive bowl game and 12th with Whittingham at the helm. They're 10-1 in the bowl games.
I was going to say, not a whole lot of L's in that column either.
It's unbelievable. Bowl win clip of 91% is the highest in NCAA history. They are given 7, and these two head coaches are in my, I would say, top 5, top 6 in the sport. But I just, the Utah factor, what they just, and I don't know if you need to beep this out, but they just have that overall get after your ass mentality.
Yeah.
And West Virginia, we saw what they are without Greer. You know, they tried to dial up the Wildcat and against Oklahoma, which was a success. They had nice long drives, but, you know, against Baker Mayfield, they were giving up, you know, points in two or three plays. So as I don't want to say insufficient, but as mediocre as Utah has been on offense this year, I think they'll be better here. I expect them to travel pretty well. West Virginia always does travel well, but I just think Utah has more to play for. I think the motivation is there. And that West Virginia offense, if you don't have the right guy in charge of it getting those snaps, it worries me, because you can't be one-dimensional in that offense. And that's why I like Greer so much, because of the balance he gave them, throwing the ball and making the right checks and reads. So I will lay the 6.5 with the Utes and take Mr. Whittingham to go 11-1 in bowl games.
You mentioned the get after your ass factor. I think that, well, while it's funny to say that, and I think there's is a lot to that. West Virginia, when they turn the ball over, it's not pretty, and that's what Utah does. We create turnovers. We saw five turnovers for us in that game at Arizona. They're shutting down a high-powered offense. A lot of sacks. That game-breaking wide receiver in Carrington. So I don't think even if Hundley doesn't play for Utah, I don't think that matters as much. I would agree with you here on Utah. I would. And one other thing, we don't just looking over those the money. Uh-huh. West Virginia is the trendiest underdog of the bowl season.
Wow, I did not expect that.
There is a ton of West Virginia money. So usually we know how those public underdogs usually do. They often have fleas.
We sure do.
I'd be careful there.
One quick thing, we got a little top heavy here. We are going to take a break and get to the rest of our picks after this break. Welcome back. As I mentioned, we will get to our rest of our picks. Hare, Bear, you are on the clock.
Well, I am going to give one with an asterisk here.
There's no asterisk.
Well, you're picking 2.5-point dogs to lose by a point to cover. So
if it's already still covering.
And here is why I'm going to say with a little asterisk. If Wyoming doesn't have Josh Allen, and I am assuming right now.
Whoa, is this a little inside info?
No, he hasn't played the last couple of games. And why would he play the famous Idaho Potato Bowl if he's not fully healthy? Why wouldn't he just heal up for the NFL Draft Combine?
Huh.
So if he does not play, and again, I don't think he is going to, and their offense has looked atrocious without him, I would certainly take Central Michigan against Wyoming. Right now the game is a pick.
Yeah.
So I will go with the old chips in the pick 'em game against Wyoming. If you look at Central Michigan, they have gotten a lot better as the year has gone on. What is it, 5 or 6 in a row to end the year? Good for Shane Morris for making the transfer.
Yeah.
He's had a really nice year. And I think Central Michigan is the right side in this game. So you're going to get some value right now, I think, because the unknown status of Josh Allen. And I know I put out a tweet there the other day about MAC teams have struggled in bowls the last few years. But I think this is one of those games where it truly is a toss-up type game. And I think there might be a little bit of value here with Central Michigan, especially given how poor the Pokes have been this year with Allen on the sidelines.
You mentioned the MAC this year. Overrated, you feel?
Overrated? I don't know. I think they might be a little underrated this year.
Really? It's funny because they're obviously one of those conferences that, you know, everybody loves the MAC, and obviously when we get into November.
I mean, they've only got five bowl teams this year.
Yeah. But it feels like this is you mentioned underrated. I just felt like the quality when I watch would be better. But when I say that, it's going to bite me in the butt because I feel like now we're going to see them play well in their bowl games. Like, not the forgotten about assumption of the conference, but it feels like they're laying in there in the weeds. And, you know, we mentioned Toledo with the offense earlier this year and how they've been the top of the conference. But there's some interesting spots for the teams that did make the bowl games from that conference. And I'm really interested to see how they do.
You hit on that right. I mean, Akron is one. They're not going to win. That's the
they might even get their quarterback back.
40 bowl games. That's like 40 confidence points. FAU, Lane Train, hashtag come to the FAU. That's going to be the top one in everybody. I mean, there's no way they're losing to Akron on the bowl game on the home field. But the other game that I thought about, and it's really interesting to me, and if I could wait a few more days to do this, I would love to, but I kind of like Northern Illinois plus the points against Duke. I mean, they're not your traditional MAC team that's going to win by putting winning 52-47 type of games. They got a really good defense. They won with defense in Lincoln earlier this year before it went completely south for the Huskers. Sutton Smith leads the nation in sacks. They're not a bad – they're a top 20 defense in terms of expected points added. So they do a really good job. And Duke had to pull a couple of upsets late just to get bowl eligible.
Yeah.
I wonder if just getting to the bowl game is a season type accomplishment, and Duke is feeling good about themselves for that. But and now you got to go to Detroit. I would expect a lot of Northern Illinois fans to be there. I could see myself being on NIU in this game.
Okay, what do you have for what's that line?
Duke -4.5 is what I saw.
Okay, Northern Illinois did not mess around in the out of conference. Opened the season against Boston College, at Nebraska, and at San Diego State. I want to say they covered every single one of those games. The MAC is fascinating to me in this bowl season, and that's just another example. Here's my final pick. You mentioned Josh Allen not playing and the possibility of not, just like I was going against Bryce Love in those Stanford games towards the end of the year because It was just the matter of fact of, hey, maybe, you know, if we're going to gamble, let's gamble even more. That's what I'm doing here with Kansas State. And I know Josh Rosen's practiced. I've read about that. I also read that UCLA lost two coaches on the defensive side for this game. We know that Moore is gone. We know that they made the best hire in all of college football with bringing Chip Kelly in, but he's not coaching this game. And UCLA's rush defense was the worst in the country. I believe it's still up there.
I don't know if
among
it's
the worst.
Even if it statistically isn't, it is.
Yes. averaging giving up over 280 yards a game on the ground. I don't care if Bill Snyder has 11 me's out there. He's going to find a way to run the ball down UCLA's throat. And I read this is like his sixth trip to Phoenix for a bowl game, I think, in his career. So he's familiar. He'll get a new windbreaker because the Cactus Bowl is not one, I believe, that's been played yet. So Coach will get some new Cactus Bowl gear. And I'm just going on the fact of maybe Rosen just sits this one out. Kansas State's known to always have that defense and get after the passer. I don't see what makes UCLA motivated in this sense. Could they just, you know, dump the roster and play all the young guys? That's a possibility. It's just it's a commodity of Kansas State that I know what I'm getting against one that I have no idea. UCLA has been as frustrating a team when you look at the talent over the last, I'd say, 5 years, the more a tenure, whatever you want to do, the talent and the lack of results on the positive side has been just really, really frustrating, I think, for fans of that program. But I will say, I'm scared to death at what they will be in the near future, and that's including next year with Chip coming in. And the only good thing is that they're in the Pac-12 South and not in the North with Stanford.
And they'll need a quarterback.
No, he'll
get one. He'll get one.
I mean, I got to wake up now. I think it's like three of the last 5 days, Barrett. I'm on the recruiting thing, following guys. And like three of the last 5 days, you just see top five-star recruits like, can't believe I just got a call from Chip Kelly. I'm like, oh, boy, here we go.
Wonder, you mentioned that, and I wonder if you said playing new guys, if this is a chance where a lot of these kids from UCLA are looking to make a very positive first impression for Chip and the soon to be new coaching staff. So I wonder if they're going to be more motivated than we might think they are. But I don't even think he knows what team is going to show up.
Yeah, and that's great and all, and you want to do that. But when you come off the ball and you're getting kicked in the teeth by a Kansas State team that's just overly prepared for you, and you've kind of been lackadaisical in your tendencies and your game plans and your effort through the year, that's a great mindset to have all to impress your new coach. But I'm not buying that. I Kansas State, the relentless factor and the want to that UCLA hasn't had, I think that overtakes. But I totally see where you're coming
and
from.
And we saw that last year in the bowl game where Texas A&M was a team like that where we were – kind of worried about like the want and the will they, mm-hmm. and we saw what happened in that game with Kansas State really dominating that game and taking over. So maybe a parallel this year.
Yeah. You got any others?
The only other game which I'm kind of wrestling with, and I'll give full disclosure here, a guy on Twitter who I go back and forth with and have a good rapport. He really likes Marshall, and I was looking at it as well, and I can totally see where he is coming from here. He's got some pretty good numbers to support his theory, and yeah. I was looking at it as well. I mean, CSU is a team that, I mean, they haven't covered in a while. They've been overvalued a lot late in the year. So Marshall might – I know he likes Marshall to win the game outright.
Wow.
So, that might be – That could be another one if things are going good for you and you got a little a little extra to play. Maybe take a look at Marshall, and maybe Colorado State might be a side that, if it goes up to six, I would certainly consider hopping on it. But the Thundering Herd, and I haven't seen our ball preview yet. I believe it's getting posted on .com tomorrow. I know NFL Steel has been all over Marshall this year as well. So
yeah.
I'd be surprised if he didn't like them here as well. So I think Marshall is a team that will get a good bit of sharp support.
Call me crazy. Could altitude be a factor in that game?
It could be.
Okay. I don't know. Like, I'm thinking Marshall's coming in a week before, so it's not going to be a factor.
But, I mean, you've been to Huntington, West Virginia, though, too. I mean, it's not like Huntington, West Virginia is at sea level.
Good point. Very good. The numbers on that one are at 59% FPI for Colorado State to win that game. But, yeah, I wonder about Marshall's schedule. Just really, really bothered me this year. And I get it. Like, if you were on him this year, you won money. Good for you. But when it comes down to the actual product on the field and the ability to win this bowl game in this circumstance, that'd be a really impressive win if Marshall pulled that one off, because I still am uncertain on how good they are as a team, you know?
I'd agree with that. So we're good now, I think, through the 26th, which with the games that we really, really like.
Yeah.
I want to hit on any initial impressions on either New Year's Six, the semifinals, or any other games post Christmas that we may want to get on early.
Call me crazy, but what game? What semifinal are you more fired up for?
I'm fired up for both of them, and I'm not saying that as a company.
That's not the right answer.
Okay, if I want to watch Baker Mayfield in the Rose Bowl against Georgia.
That's, no doubt about it.
Unfortunately, I will. I'll have a good seat for it in a television truck in the end zone. There, it'd be good.
Yeah, to see Kirby Smart be able to scheme against that offense with this time to prepare, I cannot wait to see that matchup in that stadium and knowing what's at stake, those two fan bases, that's fascinating to me. I mentioned I'm going to be at the Sugar Bowl, but like I was talking to Booger McFarland the other day in the CAF, and it's like, where are we sitting down to watch the Rose Bowl before we get started for our game? So, I think that other matchups.
You hit on the Kirby with the game plan. It's going to be really interesting to see how, because Georgia's secondary, I think, could be exposed.
Uh-huh.
But I would think they're going to play so deep, keep everything in front of them. I think they can control both lines of scrimmage. They got a three-headed monster at running back. Man, I think there are a lot of reasons to potentially like Georgia in this game. But then again, on the flip side, you've got an offense and a quarterback that's been pretty unstoppable this year. And you want to be – every time I think Oklahoma is that their offense is too much for them, you just think back and you're like, they were in a game with Kansas State. They were in a game with Baylor.
Yes.
They were in so many close games. They blew a double-digit lead on their home field to Iowa State. It's like you want to think that their offense is going to be too much. And then you remember some of the poor efforts that their defense had this year, and if tackling might be optional facing Swift and Michelle and Chubb in that offensive line.
Yeah, I get it, and this comes from past experience, Bear, and we were one of, when I played my senior. I hate going back to my days, but
no, so you see,
we played.
There are people that want to hear this though. They want to hear your experiences. You have lived it. You've been in this spot. I mean, I want to hear it as well. Like what your analysis from a player and being in this position.
What I look at I see this game is I see Oklahoma, and everyone knows, you know, Ohio State, whatever you want to think of Ohio State this year or when Oklahoma went there and beat them, it's still Urban Meyer. It's still Ohio State. It's still a home night game in Columbus. And for to watch Oklahoma go there and make them look like they did on the offensive side gives me confidence in Oklahoma going into this game. Because going back to what I said, my last game was against Ron Day in the year he won the Heisman Trophy in the Rose Bowl, and we had I think the worst defense in Division I Power 5 conferences among bowl teams that year. And we know what Wisconsin was, and that was, you know, right at the beginning when it was they were as good on the ground. They started running that zone with him and the monsters they had up front. And we made a point every day in practice that our defense was going to sell out and stop the run. They could have maybe hit a couple pops in the pass, you know, maybe a couple big third downs that would have hurt us, but we weren't going to let Ron Dayne beat us. And like I said, we were undermanned, we were undersized, but our defense played as well as they could have that day. And we lost 17-9. Yep. And it was one of the best efforts I've ever been a part of. I'm still upset that our offense, because of injuries, wasn't able to handle the same. We lost our All-American center and Biletnikoff Award winner receiver, Troy Walters, and Mike McLaughlin was our center. We lost those guys in the week before the game in practice, and it was just the most demoralizing thing in the world. But getting back to that, I think Oklahoma has the goods to mount up and make Georgia one-dimensional. And that's my point about this game going into it. And I like Oklahoma's situation coming into this game better than Georgia's. I'll just say it that way. Okay. And it's because they have the advantage times 100 at the quarterback position. And that's what I think of when I see that game right now. It could change.
Yep.
But I like Oklahoma in the first glimpse of that game because of that.
Get into that more more next week. Other game, I think, is probably some disappointment, or maybe disappointment might not be the right word. Yeah, uh-huh. Kind of a type feeling when Dabo Swinney and Clemson saw Alabama pop up on that number four line. But on a positive side, they now get to play the whole no respect underdog card that has worked so well for them. I mean, they were an underdog last year, won the game. They were an underdog to Oklahoma a couple of years ago in the semi, and when they were number one, and they beat them, nearly won the title game as an underdog 2 years ago. I mean, that program loves being disrespected. And I wonder about Alabama and being able to protect Hurts. You're talking about one-dimensional. I mean, I don't think Alabama's going to be able to run the ball very well at all on Clemson either. And if Hurts isn't better throwing the ball, if those receivers aren't any better getting open than what they were against Auburn late in the year, I think we're going to see a similar result in terms of the winner on the field than we saw last year in the title game as well. Now, at the same time, I mean, I think giving Alabama a perceived second life in getting to the playoff and giving them a shot to win the title, I think that's going to rejuvenate them, and I'd expect a better effort. But I'm looking forward to watching that game as well. And I know where I'll be. I'll be watching that one at the Langham on New Year's night after the Rose Bowl.
It's at, and for those wondering and don't know right now, Georgia is now a 1.5-point favorite in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
And Alabama is up to a 2.5-point favorite in the Sugar Bowl. Can that Alabama line go over a field goal?
I don't think it'll go over a field goal unless they really, really, really want Clemson money. If that thing gets to three, I think you'll get a lot of buyback right on Clemson at three to bring it back down. But I think 2.5 is as high as it's going to go. And I alluded to before my buddy on Twitter, they go back. He had sent me a note early in the literally like I think Selection Day later that night, and saying that his numbers had Georgia as like a 2.5-point favorite as well. So he immediately liked Georgia, and when the line was when it went up with Oklahoma as a favorite, I think he saw some value there as well. So I don't think that number the number that Georgia now is favored is surprising to a lot of the sharper players out there who have some pretty good numbers.
All right, I got some homework for you to do. You ready?
Yeah.
Georgia Oklahoma over under is 60. The last time Georgia was in a game with an over under in the 60s. I need to know that.
Oh, gosh. I don't know if I – Sports Insights, Bet Labs, hello.
Yeah, where's Millman, that old little critter?
The Action Network.
Yeah.
I'll have to reach out to him.
Keep taking our Moose Alert like they invented it.
Call in a favor.
Yeah, let's get that on it. Any fans want to get out there? Research. I want to know that question, or the answer to that question. Any other thoughts? Quick. New Year's Six games, anything?
I'm going to give a tease for one of the other bowl games right now.
And I could give a lot of teases.
Well, I'm not going to give a tease. I'm just going to go out and say I love Michigan minus the 8 against South Carolina.
Wow.
I think that's a game that number, I think, is going to move. I mean, I know we're not supposed to talk about those bowl games until next week, but I think that game number is going to move.
Okay.
I think South Carolina is a team that has kind of overachieved with their one-loss record this year. You look at their numbers inside. This is an opportunity for Jim Harbaugh to beat up on an SEC team in a bowl game that people in the conference are upset that Michigan's in the bowl game because they don't think they should be there. The Michigan defense is the best unit on the field. I think South Carolina is going to struggle mightily to score points. I know Michigan has had their fair share of quarterback problems this year, but I don't like this matchup at all for South Carolina.
I want these coaches to go one-on-one at 50-yard line.
That would be beautiful.
Because those two will not stop. They are the best. I'm so fired up to watch that game because of the ant. They should have split cameras on each head coach in that game because they're going to want to kill each other. And you know why, though? You know, they respect the heck out of each other. And they are just a lot alike in some ways with the fire and the intensity and the way their teams play. They model their head coaches, and that I love seeing that. Love seeing it. So I'm going to give a tease, and I love the Canes in the Orange Bowl. Love them. You're giving me 6.5 points in their home stadium. Well, what am I missing here?
I think.
Come on.
I would agree with you here. I think they got a very
a touchdown.
Now, while I think the Wisconsin line could have some success against them, is this maybe similar to the Notre Dame type game offensively? You've got a quarterback who loves to turn the ball over, like Wimbush and those guys did. No one likes to throw pick six more than Hornibrook. Jonathan Taylor has been prone to lay the ball on the ground every now and then. Yeah, I would expect to see that turnover chain early and often. I wonder with how poorly Rozier has played late in the year. It's an opportunity for him on their home field to play better.
Yeah,
I think the Miami defense will play well. I don't think this is a high scoring game as well, but I think I think you're on the right side there.
Yeah, I don't get that one.
We saw Wisconsin against Michigan and Ohio State, how badly their offense struggled.
Do well with speed when you have speed on defense, man. They that's the one, because not saying you run around blocks, but you have more ability to get around the rock'em sock'em straight down your, downhill run game. And, if you can't complete passes and move the chains, those defenses are going to eat that offense alive. I love every single game, I think, on December 30th, by the way. That's just a little tease.
All right.
All righty. Anything else for you? We will reconvene next week. Have fun in Vegas.
I will.
Where are we staying?
Delano.
Oh, I forgot. Herb Street's involved. Never mind.
Still mad at him. He did not call, so But we've been good in bowls. We've been good in bowls all the last couple of years. I'm expecting the positive. I mean, I went back and looked 9-5 last year. I think 8-5.
We have a great string, especially since the playoffs started. Yeah. In those games.
Playoffs.
I think I have one wrong.
Yeah, I think I was going to say I'm 8-1 as well. I took Florida State just to take Florida State plus the points against Oregon in the Rose Bowl.
And, we even got on SportsCenter last year before the title game.
I know. Maybe that will happen again this year.
Maybe.
Doubtful.
We'll see.
Doubtful.
Any questions, hit us up at Chris Felica, at StanfordSteve82 on Twitter. Appreciate everybody, and we will talk to you one more time before Christmas. But as always, happy holidays, and please, especially during the holiday season,
don't bet any money you don't have. Spend it on the kids.
Don't bet any money you don't have. Spend it on the kids. It's for the kids. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Bets. You can listen and subscribe on the ESPN app or download and listen on Apple Podcasts.